More infrastructure spending make a dent in the unemployment rate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the answer to the question that's been on the minds of all Americans for the last 12 hours or so. Will President Obama unveil his jobs plan on Wednesday, the same night as the Republican presidential debate, or on Thursday? It'll be Thursday, so set your DVRs. The president gave in to House Speaker John Boehner's scheduling request last night. As for the actual substance of what the president will say, we know he's going to call for more investment in infrastructure. We asked Marketplace's David Gura to look into how many jobs more federal funding of infrastructure could create.
It's not hard to find a bridge to repair, a dam to replace, or a road to repave. Robert Frank teaches economics at Cornell University.
This is one area where finding a useful job to do is just not a challenge.
Frank told me to look at an infrastructure report card the American Society of Civil Engineers put together a couple of years ago.
Bridges got a C, roads are a D minus, transit is a D.
That's Kathy Caldwell, the group's president. Overall, U.S. infrastructure got a D. Caldwell says she and her colleagues have done some number crunching.
In general, $1 billion spent on the infrastructure creates 35,000 new jobs.
And Nobel Prize-winning economist Peter Diamond says there's no time like the present.
There's going to be big-time infrastructure spending sooner or later anyway.
Right now, interest rates are low, materials aren't that expensive. And Diamond says we've got the opportunity to help our short-term problem, unemployment, without making our long-term problems worse. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now to the Justice Department's decision to block the proposed $39 billion merger of cell phone carriers AT&T and T-Mobile. It's been a while since we've had a big antitrust case in this country, and this one is expected to take months and cost millions of dollars. For more, let's bring in antitrust expert Dan Crane. He's a law professor at the University of Michigan, and he joins us now from Ann Arbor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, once the Justice Department steps in like they did yesterday and opposes a big merger, how likely is it that the merger will eventually go through?
Well, it does depend upon the facts of the case, obviously. In this case, on paper, the Justice Department's case looks very strong. They have alleged, at least, that AT&T and T-Mobile would lead to a very strong increase in concentration in many local and the national market for wireless services.
And why do you think that this case raised the red flags for justice when, for instance, Google's acquisition of the travel site ITA didn't, or the Comcast acquisition of NBC Universal?
Well, this is a horizontal merger, meaning it's a merger between competitors. Unlike those other mergers you just mentioned, which were primarily vertical mergers, which means that the firms were not competitors. And this is a case involving a merger between the second and fourth largest firms in the market with a where the market has a total of four firms. So it's really a 4-3 merger, which traditionally would raise antitrust scrutiny.
So this is sort of a no-brainer.
Well, it's a no-brainer to bring the case. Obviously, there are nuances in the case. AT&T will have a theory that competition is primarily on a local market basis, and that if you look local market by local market, it's not so bad.
Do you think that this is a shift for the Obama administration, that they're now going to be tougher on big mergers and acquisitions?
They haven't challenged many mergers so far. There haven't been so many large horizontal mergers of this kind, though. So in my view, this is really business as usual for the antitrust agencies.
Dan Crane, law professor at the University of Michigan, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed overseas this morning. Tokyo up a little more than 1%, but lower across Europe, down more than 1% in Frankfurt. We got some data in Europe this morning that shows the first dip in manufacturing activity there in almost 2 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 53 points to close at 11,613, which means the Dow has finally returned to positive territory for the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Today we'll hear from chain stores like Costco and Target about how well they did last month. They're expected to show an uptick in sales despite the effects of Hurricane Irene. But one thing is changing in the retail world. Last year, there was so much vacant store space that commercial landlords were cutting deals left and right to attract tenants. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the cheap retail space isn't as easy to find anymore.
If it seemed like every time you turned around last year, another store popped up, you are not mistaken. More than 5,000 temporary outlets opened and may have closed. Over 600 of those belong to Toys R Us. Faith Hope Consolo is a real estate broker.
There was a lot of vacant space, and they had an opportunity to fill those spaces at a very nominal cost. But that's not what it's about today.
Toys R Us says it's cutting back on holiday pop-up stores this year, and it may not be the only retailer. Eric Anton is the president of Pop-Up Insider. It matches landlords with temporary tenants.
Retail values have come up over the last 12 months, so maybe we'll be seeing more long-term tenants signing leases, so maybe fewer pop-ups.
Anton says pop-ups will live on as concept stores that build buzz and test consumer preferences. But last year's bubble may have... I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to what seems to be a new trend for companies trying to get something from governments. Yesterday, before the story broke that the Justice Department has some antitrust issues with the AT&T T-Mobile deal, there was a plea from AT&T. If you let this deal go through, we'll bring 5,000 call center jobs to the U.S. Well, in this morning's L.A. Times, there's a similar plea from Amazon, which wants to avoid collecting sales tax in California. Amazon is offering to hire 7,000 workers if it can avoid the taxes. Well, while we're at it, I promise to hire 10,000 workers if I don't have to pay taxes. First, give me the tax breaks, and then I'll hire the workers. Promise. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Green jobs and alternative energy are hot investments. Climate change, not really.
Climate adaptation is looking out 25, 50 years into the future. It's just not seen as a high priority in a lot of places.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Coastal cities investing in climate change now or paying later. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.